Welcome, everyone, and this is Pam Drennan and the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network. We're located out of Memphis, Tennessee, and we're glad to have you join us this evening. Anyone can access the show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford Live or by going to the archives, which is really the on-demand section, and it's available shortly after the show finishes. If you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142. And Annie, the moderator, will get to you as soon as she can, and we'll get you on the line to talk to our wonderful guest tonight, which is Elisa Heyman, and she's from Santa Fe, and she is an intuitive psychic reader, astrologer, and has all kinds of great things to share with us this evening. So I'm really excited to have her on the show. And she's been on several times, so we're happy she keeps coming back. The Cosmic Contact Show is a rundown. I'll give you all the shows that we have throughout the week. And my show is, this is all Central Standard Time. The I Am Well show that comes on Tuesday at 8 p.m. The Night Search show, that's at 9:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. Wednesdays is the No Show at 7 p.m. And that's with Reverend McMillan out of Little Rock. The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is live at 8:30 Central Standard Time. That's with James Renford Powell, and that's out of Memphis, Tennessee. Thursday is the Progressive News Weekly Show, and that's with Daryl Clark from New York. Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show, and that's at 1 p.m. with Rhonda Harrison. The Dream Vision 7 Show is at 3 p.m. Friday with Deborah Bouvet. She's from Boston. Saturday is Soul Town, The Sound of Music. That's at 3 p.m. It's from Memphis, Tennessee. And then Sunday, the Dream Vision 7 Show is at 3 p.m. And that is, again, from Boston. So there you have all the shows that we offer on this network. And we always have great people on the shows, wonderful guests. So be sure and check us out and see if there might be something of interest for you. Okay, now I want to share with you for the next minute or so about our wonderful guest this evening. Elisa Heyman is a gifted clairvoyant and intuitive counselor. She has an international practice in psychic counseling and spiritual healing. She will talk about the current influence of major planets on both individuals and society at large and share her new feature weekly psychic horoscope podcast. Com now sponsors Elisa's predictions on her Santa Fe Star Seer page, a monthly psychic call-in show on live streaming KDSF 101.5 the first Tuesday of the month. That's 9 to 10 Mountain Time. Please call in if you have a personal question this evening to 347-838-9142. Because Elisa has the answers. Be sure and visit her blog and the current client newsletter at www.elisaheyman.com. To reach Elisa after the show for a personal session, you can always call 505-982-3294. Okay, well, let me bring Elisa in here and say hi. Hello there.
Hi, Pam. How are you doing?
Well, doing great. How are you doing? Is the weather wonderful there? It is here.
No, it's not. The drag of that is that things were in full bloom. The only thing is the trees are so gorgeous. They were at their peak, but then it snowed unexpectedly. It froze, and so why it's not good is just that it really affected all the fruit trees, and that's a sad fact. But things are blooming, and it's still beautiful. It still smells great. Everything's good, unless you happen to be a fruit tree. Then things aren't so good.
well, we'll just see them coming out really again. Oh, I hate that. Well, Alicia, what do you want to talk to us this evening about? I know you've got a lot of good things to share, and we have some people online that would like to talk to you, too. So, but first, I want you to share with us, you know, what you would like to say for what's
okay.
going on.
Well, actually, I feel like telling you more, a little bit about what I'm noticing, what's helpful to people right now, and what's helpful to people that work, that do psychic work, too, because like the last time I talked to you, I'm still in very excited by other practitioners that are doing what look like to me to be amazing things. And what's amazing is it just is proof in a very dramatic way of that if your consciousness changes, if you can perceive things differently, it is you're just in a whole other world with other abilities. And I've really seen quite a few miracles. And coming from an atheist background, where basically you're brought up to feel like you're alone. And the idea of connecting with something you can't see doesn't make a lot of sense. But I've seen now people connect with what seems invisible. And then, of course, I do this multiple times a day myself to get ready for work. But I think there's a guy that I talked to you about before named Hoyt Robinette, who is a physical medium, and they produce physical results where you're looking at something that wasn't made by human hands, so to speak. And one thing that he, not so to speak, for real, one thing that he did was produce a spirit card that had your spirit guide on it in a way that was just absolutely miraculous. And but when I got my spirit card, like, I wasn't really jazzed about what the spirit looked like. He wasn't my type. He was kind of like a New England type of guy. By that I mean he looked like an out of the Pilgrim time or the Puritan time, and I didn't identify too much with what I could read about him online or anything like that. And so I went back and saw him again, and this time Hoyt said, before he produced the cards, when he was in trance and giving me my individual message, he said, the same guide is going to come through for you on your card. And I was a little disappointed because, like, I wasn't really turned on by him. And then he said, but you're going to like this one. You're going to like him, and you're going to think he's good-looking. And so I thought it was amazing that he picked up that I wasn't excited about the card. But when I did get my card, it was of this absolutely, it wasn't of a like an 80-year-old man or a 70-year-old man like the one that I had. It was the same guy, really young, and he was beautiful. And everybody came over and said, wow, like, that is a really good-looking guy. And I was able to relate to him and get the value of what it could mean to have a spirit guide shown to you this way. But so now I have two pictures, one of the old one and one of the young one. And I also saw somebody else recently that gave me the idea of the importance of guided meditations and how they really make accessible to everybody healing. And he just does a very, very good job of it. His name is John Douglas, and I went to see him in person. And he also works with the whole idea of angels, and that people, angels of his, can attach to you and work through him. And it all sounds preposterous, but people feel, you know, tremendously better, and they are able to let go of things. So that's what's impressed me lately. But I do these weekly horoscopes now, so I'm going to read you just for this week, just a few couple of sentences about it. They're on SantaFe.com, and this week I did something different because last weekend was the beginning of the astrological year. And although our year begins in January, when the sun goes into Aries, that is considered the beginning of the new year in astrology. And so the messages that I gave for the fire, water, air, and earth signs are for their astrological year from this spring to next. But But this is just for everybody. That's just a couple of sentences about this week from the 20th to the 26th. And it says, this week has a fiery nature, and if you set your mind to it, it can also be full of accomplishments. Opportunities can suddenly appear. Don't hesitate to pick one, and be willing to toot your own horn, if that helps. So that's my impression of the week ahead. And I also noticed that on the April newsletter, I write this monthly newsletter, and this week, this month also, unusually, it has individual messages for the whole spring for Aries, Taurus, Gemini, etc. But I mentioned today, as a matter of fact, in the April newsletter, and it's about this idea that people have a lot of energy now, they're very determined to get into the right position, and that if you've worked hard, this time can be very, very productive, beginning today, April 20th, when the sun goes into Taurus. But I think what people are really most impacted by right now is Pluto retrograde. And retrogrades always have kind of a scary vibe to them. But as a matter of fact, this Pluto retrograde, it's from a couple of days ago, I think, or right around now, to September 24th or 25th. And there are certain things that are just hard to get to, like tasks that take too much grit most of the time, or you're not feeling intense enough to get to a certain deep understanding and really get to the bottom of something. But Pluto helps a person do that when it's retrograde. It deals with kind of inner really cleaning out or getting things done that must be done, doing the hard things. So that can often be karmic, what's coming from your family, things that got formed when you were very, very young, and people can deal with them better now, make some progress in healing. Okay, that's my spiel. If there's people that are on the line and would like to talk.
Well, there are, and that was very interesting. I want to ask about the Pluto. Why is it, is that a hard planet for us, for everybody? I know it's the slowest moving planet that we have. It takes a long time for it to go through, I guess, the charts. But, I mean, what is the good aspect of Pluto?
Well, Pluto is called the higher octave of Mars. And Mars has to do with aggression, violence, male energy. It rules police and war and conflict and sex. And Pluto, as a higher octave, is recognizing that aggression and some breaking things apart has to happen on the way to a transformation. That one must really step into a completely different structure and let go of the past, and that there is a value to being intense sometimes and really interested in knowing the truth of something and having the determination and grit and being able to see deeper and seeing one's own self and not flinching, having the courage to deal with it. And so Pluto is good for revolutionizing and evolutionizing, but through destructive, there's a destruction involved with it. So it's a time in society where forces can get together to break down and revolt against what's in place. And that takes, again, like an extraordinary effort. So why it's good is, why it's seen as good, or I'm looking at it, is because sometimes you need to go a long distance or a deep distance or a hard distance, and this is the kind of energy that one can engage with those sorts of things.
Okay.
There's nothing bad about it. It's totally necessary. Societies
right.
don't usually change through things getting better and better and people cooperating. They change because people just are flipped out and can't handle what's happening, and they have to organize for it and revolt. But in one's own self, it's nothing necessarily like that at all. It's absolutely wanting to change and being willing to do what it takes and being able to see what it takes finally.
Okay. Well, then that sounds like a real necessary planet there. Push
yeah.
us along. Well, I'm so glad to have you on the show this evening, and we do have several people online. Now, I want everyone that's listening in to be sure and get your question formulated so that Elisa can give you a great answer. So let's bring Catherine in. She's our first caller. She's from Florida. Hold on a second. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Alicia, I'm curious to know if you're picking up any romantic relationships that might be coming my way. I have gotten back in contact with somebody from my past who I've never lost my beating heart for, and that would be wonderful. But
well, I wonder if there's any kind of quick repair or resolve that might be gained, if anything, about this person or a previous relationship needs a little resolving. In other words, the first thing that I saw is the idea of you kind of having your lips pursed, just a little bit worried because perhaps of something that has already happened, and as if you were concerned about how things might go. And it doesn't have to be the relationship that you're looking forward to or something might happen. It could be something in the past, but I wondered if there's anything like that.
Well, he is somebody that now that we're talking just as friends, just to let you know, I'm available, but he is not. However, so we're just keeping things only speaking through emails, and that's it, just because we don't want to venture into anything that wouldn't be right. But we have made it very known to each other that there's feelings there, but he's just not in a place. He's in an unhappy union, let's put it that way, but we don't want to, you know, do anything. So I was thinking, well, you know what, maybe in the future, and I let him know that, you know, what my feelings were, and then just left it there.
All right,
so
August feels like a time that things come to a head for him more in August, and that I would not do anything but continuing to write if that's what you feel like doing. And it's not.
Yeah, I'm going to see him in late May. We're both going to a concert, and that will be it. I mean, I'm just going to see him just to say hello, you know, and that it's not, you know, but that'll be it.
Well, I wouldn't make any move at all in terms of what is a plan between you two getting together. It would have everything to do with him, and I think that he would feel some pressure. Perhaps after seeing you, but some pressure to make a decision about his life more at that time and just to wait for that.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you, Elisa.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that was great. You were so good. I think you told her exactly, you know, what is the best option she has, since she doesn't have many options here. Okay. We've got our next person we've got is Ivatar. She's from Colorado. Hi, Ivatar.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Elisa. This is Ivatar. How are the both of you?
Good, good.
Right.
How about you? What's happening?
Oh, I've been having some really interesting experiences with the animal kingdom. It seems like I can't tell you exactly what has happened, but it seems that I'm really have this really, really strong connection with the animal kingdom on so many different levels. So I wanted to see what you were picking up about that.
Well, actually, I feel like a lot of healing can come to you from the animal kingdom, and that that might be an interesting thing to try to be receptive to, besides just what people feel naturally. You know, they've just discovered that when a dog stares into your eyes and you stare into the dog's eyes, your dog, if you've ever done that, There's all this OxyContin. It's the drug that everybody craves, but both the dog and the person receive this huge shot, a chemical shot of love, and that's sort of unlike other animals, perhaps. But I feel like it could be that you can have animal helpers. It can come through a real animal. But you could have an extra relationship where it's more like a teacher, and that you should pursue this no matter how different it might seem, because I feel like it is a safe and a perfectly valid way for you to learn, and that it could take you anywhere in terms of knowing things, mastering things. But first it feels like there's a lot of healing or trust that needs to develop, and the animals are better able to do this for you for whatever reason than people you might encounter. I don't know if they're better, but they can do it. That's kind of a strange answer, but basically it's really worthwhile to pursue how unique your relationship to animals can be and what you've got to offer as a result.
Yeah, because it seems like other people's dogs, you know, when I walk, their dogs are, they just stop in their tracks, or they just come running towards me. And I've had, you know, some experiences with the dolphins and the whales lately on an esoteric level. So, and the birds, and it just seems to just go on and on.
Yeah, well, I would say it goes somewhere, and being receptive to the idea of a teacher or healing that you might receive and knowledge you might receive.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, that was good. I'd like to hear about people and your animals. Okay. Do you have an animal, Elisa?
No, but I have a friend who doesn't walk anywhere anymore, and I play fetch and games with her dogs and have walked them for years every day. I like being around animals.
I bet they like being around you too. Okay, well, let's call, open up the line for Carissa. Carissa? Let's see. Hello?
Hi.
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 Hi, it's Carissa.
Carissa. Okay. What's your question for this evening?
My question is how to any suggestions on how to deal with my relationship with my mother?
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, if you could say, give us a couple of sentences to create some kind of image or picture, or what you want to accomplish, like, you know. What would you like to see between you and your mother, or something else besides what you just said? Like, for instance, my mother wants me to do this. I don't want to do that. Or I don't feel connected and want to know how to improve that relationship, or whatever your question might be.
I want to feel safe around my mother.
Okay, well, what's not safe about her?
Pretty much everything in my mind right now.
Okay. Well, some people actually are dangerous. But is there a reason that you have to be around her? Do you live at home, or is there some contract in some way between you?
Well, I guess she's my birth mother, and I would like to have a mother. And the only way to have a mother is to try and have a relationship with my mother.
Okay, well, you used the one word, dangerous, that brings into question the wisdom of being around somebody. Some people are actually dangerous, you know? Like, I had a client who told me, she turned around and her mother had a board over her head raised to hit her with it in a barn. You know, people do amazingly surprising things sometimes. So here's what I'm trying to determine, whether you have the power to and desire to change your behavior so that or actions so that you get along with your mother, or if in fact it's not really in your best interest to get along with somebody who could be dangerous.
I guess that's kind of my what I need to evaluate too, because I mean, she definitely has endangered my life, you know, many, many times. The question is this intentional or is this just something she's doing?
Okay. Well, here's my psychic impression, that in March, or even in maybe faintly in April, in the beginning of April, you would have had either signs of there being no danger because nothing happened that, and this represented a change in behavior, like, oh, maybe there's nothing to fear here. But if you had, in March, signs of potential harm to you, then I would take that as an actionable event, you know, what you want to look at and go, oh, well, if this happens, maybe I should go do this.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Does that make
well,
sense?
Well, yeah, March something happened where I don't understand her intentions. You know, she definitely hurt me. So, yes,
okay.
In March something happened where she definitely, her actions hurt me, but
okay.
I don't know her intentions. I mean, is it just senileness? Is she just crazy?
Whatever it is, you know, you don't want it to be your obituary that they figured out what was the matter, and now you know what's the matter. You want to react to, like, is it actually dangerous? And if in March it was actually dangerous, I would take that as the information you need to make a wise decision. Like, some
okay.
people want to visit their mother, and they're only going to visit their mother when there are three other people present or something, you know?
Right.
You
I mean, that is the... But I have to have somebody else present when I'm around her.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it might be, but to act on what you learned.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know why there's a noise in the background, but thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I was hearing the noise, too. I was wondering where that was coming from. Well, thank you for calling in. And, you know, this is always interesting. Okay, I've got another caller, Patty from Chicago. Let's call in Patty.
Hi, I'm enjoying the show. Thank you very much for taking my call. I need to know, what is the energy surrounding the friendship between my friend DR and me? He's from my past, from about 20 years ago, and recently we reunited, and I'm not sure about what his feelings are. I kind of get mixed messages.
Well, aside from that, do you have business career aspirations?
I'm thinking about it, yes.
I think you could be really successful. And so if there's something you're thinking of doing, I feel like you have the qualities that that could make it a success.
Working with him or on my own?
I think I just saw not necessarily working with him, just your ability, your potential, and that you might have an idea or want to go in that direction, and I would encourage that.
Oh, okay.
And in terms of the person, you know, I feel like one idea is that they haven't quite settled yet on what their goals are, you know, where they want to land or how to. I feel like that is somewhat of a preoccupation. I would be not surprised if there's kind of a listless energy around really making a big deal of a relationship, like that might be not the next thing on their list.
So you don't feel any connection between us, or it's just not going anywhere? I'm not clear.
Well, one, I would say I'm not very aware of the person around you and their desire for a committed relationship and everything you might be thinking of at this time. What do they talk about? That is the biggest key. What's their conversation about?
What their conversation is about, I think we're kind of both not going there. I mean, because we just met after 20 years. We met twice for dinner, and we talked for a long time. And I feel there's a connection, but I don't know. He recently got divorced last July, so I don't know where, if he's feeling the same I am, or is he just kind of taking it slow? I don't know.
What did he talk about at dinner?
Oh,
did he talk about settling down and goals that you recognize as somebody looking for a commitment or not?
Well, he did at one point say that he would get married again, but now was not the time. But he said, yeah, it's in his future.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that attitude of his seems to make more difference than anything else. In other words, I can't feel the feelings, not that they're not there, I just can't feel them. But I can feel that it's just not on it's not on his agenda, so he might not be so conscious or invested of, oh, this is material for the future.
Oh.
So, you know, I would totally encourage you to see him as often as you guys want to get together, but not expect there to be a development of common goals together soon. I think that he gave himself quite a while in his own head to connect up with anybody.
So it's just a friendship and it won't turn into a relationship? Is that it?
No, you don't get it. It's hard for you to understand what I'm saying because you're really fixed on your goal and your expectations. And you're not giving the person that you're meeting, the benefit of his perspective or cutting him that kind of slack. So just, I wouldn't expect anything for quite a while, and you'll be able to tell again by his conversation.
His
conversation changes at dinner to asking about you, what are you doing, and things that are so obvious. He's an obvious guy, that will tell you, but until then, I think it's not on the menu.
Oh, because he did at one point, ask me if I ever would get married again, and because I'm a widow, and I just said, I'm not sure. I said, because it's hard for me to say yes, I will, unless I'm in a, I know the person.
That is good. That leaves the door open. Everything's fine in terms of what's possible. I'm just not seeing it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, good deal. Okay, let's see. There's another comment.
Well, I want to make a comment about that because it's so common, and that is that what is really hard to do when you've got a desire like to have a stable relationship, that a perfectly natural, wonderful desire to that grows in closeness and things like that, and the person you're dealing with has just come off a divorce. They have a different language. They may have signed a little contract with themselves about how they're going to wait a year, and whatever it might be, and that it's always difficult to really enjoy the person who's kind of in recovery, who's gotten a divorce, and accept their lack of interest in creating the whole scenario they just got out of. So it makes it hard, it makes it harder to have a good time with them when things can turn into a relationship, but it's so way too soon anytime before the man themselves or the woman themselves is divorced makes a move. You really have to wait, I think, for them to reach out, because it's like coming out of an illness in a way.
Well, I agree with you on that. And I think that you did give her some great advice. And, you know, the thing is, we want more, and we want it to happen, and we want it the way we want it, you know, and it doesn't always work out that way.
Right. Almost always.
Okay. You know, with the last lady, I'm kind of getting lost here. Was that Laura that we were talking to from New York?
No, that was Patty. Let's bring in Laura from New York.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
I'm listening to Alicia, and then I'm trying to do this. Okay. Laura?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question, or how can
I actually just coming off a very, you know, bad breakup for about a year ago, and I'm just starting to get back into the dating world. The crazy dating world, having a little bit of a rough time. I mean, I'm talking to several different people, and I've really only been met one person in person. I've only gotten to date one man, but again, speaking to different people, and it's very confusing out there, and it's difficult, scary, and just wanted to know if you saw anything about anything that I have going on around me now, relationship.
Well, actually, what I see is that all these things that may not have worked so far, in August, I feel like things that haven't worked can work. And by the way, if you can remember, I'd appreciate a call back, you know, in August, when August passes, if that happens, because it's showing really that it's simply a matter of time, and you're really wise to make your own self feel good, be glad you can identify the, not flakiness, but just the transient world you've dialed up, sort of. But I think that all can end. It can all change, turn on a dime, where... it feels like you're somebody that wants to be settled, is willing to be happy and content, and actually willing to be alone until that contented kind of relationship shows up.
Pretty much, but you hit it right on the head when you said the flakiness and the transient part. That's the part of the dating world that is so, I'm sure everyone feels this way, but it's so hard to deal with. You know, you don't know who's for real, who's not for real. People are like... You know, it's just insane, and it's been, you know, like I said, the person that I am sort of seeing, I know probably is a more casual thing, but I can't tell. I can't even know. I don't even know what I feel.
Well, for whatever reason, I feel like there's more surety, more excitement, more to look forward to later in the summer, mm-hmm. and that in August, and that weather, it's. Somebody making their intention clear and you growing to love them, or you meeting somebody, or becoming aware of something that really works for you. That is my impression.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's hard to know about those things because, you know, it's not obvious.
Right.
But the idea is just that what you have tried, which exposes you to a crazy world, can also work.
I have hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's important to reach out, to keep on reaching out if that's what you want.
Mm.
Or just to be open. You know, sometimes people just have their little biological DNA clock set to walk into Safeway at the right time when somebody that looks really interesting is in line behind them and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
Just your openness to it and willingness to be content at home if you can't be content with somebody out there.
Right.
You recognize the right person. But I feel very hopeful for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm going to definitely let you guys know after August if anything. Okay. Very good, then. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Welcome.
Well, thank you for calling. Well, again, now to reach Alicia, you can call 505-982-3294, or you can go to her website and to her newsletter at www.ElisaHayman.com. And set up an appointment, a session with her. I know that you would love it, and she's got a lot of good information. Okay, now let's go to our next.
Let me tell.
Okay.
I will, can I tell people just what else is on my website?
Yes.
One thing is you can try these same questions that you're asking, or any question anybody listening wants to ask. I've got these guided meditations on my website, and they're all under 3 minutes. There's four of them, and they guide you to get in touch with your own intuition, to get your own psychic answers or your own spiritual guidance, or give yourself a healing. And I also do these weekly horoscopes. If you just go to santafe.com, S-A-N-T-A-F-E, it's a podcast, and then it's written out. Also, there's both ways. And then I have a monthly newsletter, and it's free, and it has predictions for the month and horoscopes and an itinerary and different things like that. So there's essays, there's lots of educational material on my site.
Okay, well, thank you. You know, Lisa, the thing that as I listen to these people, and anytime you're out there and you want to meet someone and you go, well, you know, is this a high calibrating person? Is this a good person? Is this a truthful person? Will this person lie to me? You know, we all want to know that. And for me, Dr. David Hawkins' book, Power versus Force, of course, you have to be able to muscle test, but when you learn how to muscle test, you can look at his scale, his logarithmic scale that tells you of what a person's calibrating at, and then you'll know if they're high enough for you to be honest, to be truthful to you, you know, if they're going to lie to you, they're going to be the right person for you. I mean, if you just don't ever have to worry again about, you know, hooking up with someone that's, you know, not vibrating high. And that's the thing, because we can get fooled real easy, especially when it comes to affairs of the heart.
There's that, and there are definite ways. And, you know, even if you don't have that David Hawkins test, there'll be things that happen all around you to give you signs. But it is amazing and true how many people say, you know, I could see by the way he did this or she did that, or they're married or whatever it might be. And what it looks like is that love binds us to people that we are learning from. Like in your family, you're born into a family, you love those people, and they could be the most difficult people and give you the most challenging lessons, you know, how to stand up for yourself, all these hard things that cruel people can give you that are in your family. And then you can fall in love with somebody and they can just blow your mind, demolish you. You know, why would you ever sign up for something like that? But it's so complicated what our journey is. And I feel like it's a useful way to look at it, that love, that who we're attracted to has something for us, even if it's to finally know, oh, I recognize that. That guy's going to cheat on me, or that I know I can tell by that, you know, that person's irresponsible, and not get involved. You know, that you have to kind of learn to read the signs better.
Right.
People
look at those red flags when they pop up. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with everything you just said. Absolutely. And I do know that there are people that we connect up with because we're to learn from them, and they're to learn from us. But
right.
The thing is, you've got to realize if it's not working, you need to move on. Again,
yeah.
We stay in a lot of relationships a lot longer than we really need to, and then it doesn't work for us. Okay.
Right.
Let's bring
I'd like to
Mary.
Okay, go
ahead.
No, go ahead. Mary.
Mary. Mary from Florida. Hi, Mary.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
At that website you gave, could you spell that, please?
Which one? For the weekly horoscopes?
Yes. If you could spell that.
That is S-A-N-T-A-F-E, santafe.com.
Maybe I put an extra E on it because I couldn't locate it.
Okay, yeah, one E. And then it'll say your astrological more information, and then you'll scroll down and you'll see the podcast and the all the information.
Great, I'll look it up. Thank you.
Okay.
My question concerns where I live right now. I wanted to make a change, and I am not financially able to do so at this time, and physically I could be better regarding that. And the rentals at this time have gotten very high, so I haven't really located a place. I'm wondering if I will stay here for the full year term or things would turn around where I would move.
Actually, I think you might have an opportunity, but I'm not sure you would take it, to get to a cheaper situation in July or make a move then. And I feel like some potential moving away from your foundation in September, but I feel like you could use some support, like to talk to somebody about, you know, for 3 weeks, if you have a low cost, I mean, just to get out of a sounding board about three times about your situation, what's in your best interest. For instance, and you could discuss with them what you need to move, why you'd want to move, things like that.
Are you talking about a realtor? Is that what you mean by discussing it?
No, let's say you had issues that just made it kind of hard to see, and you just wanted to talk to somebody. There, you mentioned that you don't have that much money, but there are low-cost counseling services. What I'm looking for is just what would support you now, as if you could use some support to make this next move if you're going to make it. And part of that support is just your own, what you're fired up about or why you would move. What is your reason for moving? If it's just money, it's going to be easier in July.
Money is a big factor, but the main reason is I lived in this complex before. There are physical issues. There are things that are not, you know, really, I feel that are in my best interest here.
Okay.
Without going into detail with every single item.
Okay, it looks terrific for you to move. That's what you would want to talk to somebody so they can, if you need to, I hope this can do it right now, just to coach you through the details, complications, whatever you do need to move. I feel you will be happier and can find a better environment for yourself. There's something a little lacking in your energy to do that, but you can.
Right.
You could, and you want to get some support to heave yourself up and, you know.
If I had the finances, then I could have more motivation, because they want quite a bit to move in most of the places that I've checked with. And then you have to have movers and all that.
Right, but I feel like you might get overwhelmed and not do anything, and I feel like you do have a chance, and it's much better for you to move, actually. And so sometimes people need somebody that's a really good resource person that says, yes, most of the time you need help, but then there's this other thing where you can talk to the landlord, you can tell him this, you can tell him that, and how long you want to stay, and, you know, get a different deal, or just get somebody that has ideas for you if you don't have them yourself about how to get from A to Z. I think it's possible, but probably with a little help.
Would I be able to get out of the lease if I decide I want to break it sooner?
When's the lease over?
My lease is up the end of May, and they require a 60-day notice. So there hasn't been any
place. There you go, July, June, July, May, June, July.
But that would mean I would have to kind of give notice, and I'm kind of hesitant to jump off.
Right, absolutely. Don't jump off anywhere. Find a place to jump to. And if you can't do that.
A lot of places don't want to hold it for 3 months.
Right. Then I would have to help you probably I would look at different options you've got, but I do feel that if you're just talking to yourself, you're going to come up just like you did now with sort of how it works, that you're not really able to move. And I don't believe that. I think that there is a way. And,
I'm checking around the area. I'm calling places. I'm getting ideas. You know, I'm asking people who live certain places.
There might
keep
be
your
also
eyes.
Just community organizations, state organizations, federal organizations, whatever you're eligible for that can help you also. I would really look into any kind of free support that might be out there for you, perhaps because of your age, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. I'm searching for the right agency because I was trying to get some financial help, and they have very long waiting lists, so like 2-3 years. So, you know, that kind
like
of stuff.
Yeah, get you want an advocate. You want a go-getter advocate that's got a lot of ideas and wants to get around things. I wouldn't give up, but maybe target your efforts to seeing what kind of help you can get as opposed to the place.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so there could be an opportunity then.
Yes.
It could work out.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll keep working on that. Thank you very much. I'll check out your site.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. Good night.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in. Well, now we've got almost 8 minutes, and there's another caller. Her name is Lori from Washington. Let's bring her in. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Well, I'm wondering if you can see how my son's doing.
All right,
his name's Mark.
Tell us a story about your son. Tell us a story about your son and why you're concerned about him.
Well, he hasn't spoken to me in years. And then I just found out that he had a divorce last year. And he has 2 18-month-old twin boys.
Okay. Did he tell you he never wants you to talk to him again? Did he make it clear that you're not supposed to reach out to him, or is that an open door?
He doesn't want to hear from me, he says.
Okay. Is there somebody else in your family that's in communication with him besides anybody else?
No, I don't really have much.
Cousins, sisters, father, uncle, nobody?
Right, nobody really.
Okay. All right, well, then I would break his rule if I were you. And it sounds like it would be a natural time, with no matter what your relationship is, if you happen to find out that he's got 2 18-month-old sons and you don't know how they're being taken care of or if he needs help, to go, I know you told me not to get in touch with you, but I'm just here for you if you want to be, or whatever is making you wonder about him now. And
well, I wrote him and stuff, but he threatens to, you know, call the police if I come around him.
Okay. So you already did try to contact him?
Yeah, many times.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then, do you know what? He would just have to have a change of heart. Because if the last communication you got from him was that he felt that strongly, you have to wait for whatever change might occur with him.
Who's the daddy?
Hello?
Pardon?
Yeah.
Hello?
Pardon?
And so, but here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think for a minute, because do you want some insight about why he feels that way? Or do you
know? Yeah.
Okay. All right, hold on a second. Okay, so I just want you to ask out loud, what is up with my son, or how does he feel about me, or ask for what about, what's in my best interest to do about it besides what I just told you? Just any question. Just say some question out loud real quick, and let's hear it.
I'm wondering how my son feels about me and if he'll have a change of heart and speak to me again.
Okay.
Wondering why he feels so hostile
all right,
towards
so
me.
Here's what's showing. First of all, it takes a very, very long time for him to deal with his feelings. And yet, he is perfectly well aware, not because of your relationship. He might be all sure about your relationship, but other relationships, that he is a work in progress when it comes to managing relationships. That has been made perfectly clear to him. And he may not take any responsibility for whatever happened between you and him, but he is taking responsibility for the fact that things don't work out for him. And so he's working on it. And if he works on it and you're part of his healing, if you are part of his healing, you'll hear from him. And if you're not, he never got to it. He didn't get that far, and that's all there is to it. And what you need is therapy so that you're not taking this personally. People are born to very loving people sometimes who are all screwed up because they need that loving parent that's willing to put up with them because they're really a handful or they're really injured, wounded in some way karmically. And so you can't take responsibility for this because that's very extreme behavior, to want to call the police, to not want to talk to anybody, to have a divorce when you're eight, when someone's got two 18-month-old twins. I mean, you know, there's got to be really wrong things for that to happen. So you have to get it off your shoulders and know that he's working on it and he's trying as best he can, and he'll, if he gets to you at that far along in his healing, you'll hear from him.
So there's nothing I can do?
Right, right, except to understand what your role is and who came to you, and that they are trying. And why are they trying? Because things didn't work out. That's the only way they were going to learn.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Go talk to somebody yourself.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty unhappy.
Yeah, right. You want to make yourself happier, you can, but take that burden off.
I was hoping I'd be able to, you know, meet my grandchildren someday.
That might be too much to hope for, but just know, I mean, the best thing you could do is pray for the guy, you know, and wish him the best, because he's got a long road to hoe, and he's trying.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that was a great answer for her, Elisa. I know that was hard, and I know that she would like to, if anyone would say, oh, you know, do this and do that, and you're going to be back, and y'all are going to have this great relationship. But again, I think you did share some wonderful information with her this evening, and, you know, it's sometimes we just have to divorce our family, you know, our kids or our parents or whoever, if it doesn't work for us. Okay,
yeah.
We got.
It's hard to feel good. It's hard to feel good about having someone like that in your family. But you know, I feel like wonderful people can attract very difficult family members.
Yes.
And they, so they can't make it about them that the family members are difficult.
That's right. And reason that we chose them. You know, that is the hardest thing when I do talk to someone and they're telling me when I'm counseling, you know, that they don't have a good relationship with their children or with their parents. And you know, it's just, it's so important that we heal everything we can while we're here, you know, and not to give up and just to keep them in our prayers, as you said, you know, that things will get better someday and it will work out, you know. We have to keep our faith going there.
Ultimately, probably everybody's trying. It doesn't look like it. Sometimes they have to, you know, really be in a bad place to even start trying, but that's my impression. Everybody seems to be trying to make the best decision for themselves all the time.
Well, now we are at the end of the show. We still have a couple more people online. Do you want to do one more call and then we can end it?
Okay, one more call.
Okay.
Let's bring in
Sherry from Texas.
Okay. Hello. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, thanks for slipping me in there. I appreciate it.
Hi, Sherry. What is your question?
Well, it's amazing. You live where I want to move.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see what energy you were picking up around that. I keep trying to get away from wanting to move to New Mexico, and I just can't. I really want to move there.
Well, what does it actually take? What must you have in place to move? Do you need a job?
I probably need to just... Well, I need to just go through the pain. Well, that's not true. I am in sales, and I'm self-employed, so, you know, it's a situation where you can't bring your customers with, so I'd be starting over.
Mm.
And I'm not limiting myself by saying it'll be painful. It doesn't have to be. But my consciousness is, I'm just trying not to go there. But logistically.
Well, what are you afraid of not working out if you move? What could happen that would just go, well, I don't think I can move yet or something?
Well, I would have to buy another house, sell this one, figure out what company I'd work for, or if I was going to work for myself, and just try to start building my clientele from there. You know, just basically starting over. And in the past, it has taken me a good couple years to get that to happen. You know, when you start a business from scratch, which is
right.
Not a long time. But
well, here's my impression is that you may not be tremendously motivated for too much longer to keep on plugging into where you're at, as if you go, I could be doing this where I want to be.
Right.
And so it might be that your own natural energy just stops wanting to be invested there and doing that same thing unless it's building towards where you want to get to. And yet still, it might take a while. You would have to have some float time, it looks like. You'd have to, you know, have a certain number of months that you weren't worried.
Right.
If you built something up like 8 months. But there's nothing impossible about this. It is going to seem, I believe, more real to you when you think that it's not in your best interest to keep on building up something that you want to move.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That's exactly where I'm at, where I'm just like, it's almost where the energy is going to be the same.
Yeah,
I'm
so
doing
you might
it
well,
here or
you,
there. So I might
yes,
as well go know. For it.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, but I don't.
So what I'm
like
going to do is visit this week. I'm actually headed up there this week,
uh-huh.
And I'm going to just kind of see what energy I pick up while I'm there and see if I can't just move one step closer. It may not be right now, but
that's a very good way to do it. It may not be right now, but you it will.
It might tide me over.
Yeah, it'll talk to you in terms of its viability or rightness. You know, you'll feel happy when you wake up or whatever it might be here.
Right. And
it's
that,
not, okay, so basically we're talking about later and your energy kind of drying up around where you are, so it's easy for you to transfer it and knowing that it doesn't make sense to spend two more years building something up there.
Right, and it may be happening now because I'm physically fatigued every day, debilitating, and I'm wondering if that's not what that is.
Yeah, well, see if you're energized when you come out here next week.
Right. Right. And the only other thing tied with that is I was told in no uncertain terms, well, if you're looking for a mate there, you might want to do it before you get to Santa Fe. And that's discouraging.
Yeah, did an all-seeing person tell you that?
I
don't
need
one parking place, you know?
Well, and I thought, well, heck, it can't be any worse than where I'm at.
Right, there may be people more of a like kind. That's not a good reason not to go to a place, but I must say that people do say that who are here for only the healing that the place gives them for a couple years or whatever it is that they need to be here for, but it's not a mate. And so they might have ideas about what's possible here that just really apply to them.
Well, and they were meaning sexual orientation-wise.
They were meaning sexual orientation-wise?
Yeah.
So I would be guided by is my sense of love for a place. If I actually felt like I loved a place, I would also assume there was love there for me.
You know, I'm feeling that same thing. I really do. And that's why I've been so torn. Is like, well, I didn't pick any of that up when I was out there. I just felt like, whoa, this feels really, really good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I feel like you do have to make it work, but I wouldn't let those sort of generalities get in your way.
Okay, but it's not. I'm not reading that wrong, that place is completely off for me as far as energy or ley lines or any of that.
No, if it feels right, that's all the compass you need.
Well, I like Taos too. I don't know what the economics would be up there. It's so small, though.
Right.
And it seemed to me Santa Fe was perfect because it's not quite that small, but it's not Albuquerque.
Right. Right. And beautiful. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you looking into that. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sherry, for calling in. Well, what a great show. You just helped so many people. I know they... Anyway, thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Your readings are wonderful, and we love having you on the show. And do you have anything that you would like to say in closing this evening?
No, just 505-982-3294. That's my phone number. And if you go online on my website, you can connect with all these different things if you are interested in them.
Okay.
Meditations, okay?
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me. Just call me up anytime or whatever, however you want to do it.
I will. I'll have you back real soon. Thank you, honey.
Okay.
Right. Well, everyone, have a great evening, and we will be back here next Monday, 6:30, Cosmic Contact time. Andy, would you like to say something?
I just wanted to say what a wonderful show. You did a great job, Alyssa, and everyone have a wonderful week.
Thanks. Thanks, Annie. That's nice. All right. Take care.